What a special time in worship this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This morning, I'm excited to share this word with you because I didn't prepare this word.
Amen. Hallelujah.
This is not the word that I prepared last night. The Lord stirred my heart this morning during worship. And he's changed my sermon. So this morning you'll be receiving from God directly. And that's always how it should be supposed to be. I want to be small. I don't want you to remember Bradley. Remember Christ. Thank you, Adon, for being lenient with me. So this morning I feel on my heart strongly to share the word about that I shared in Fredericksburg School around about the same time this year. It's with regards to community and the importance thereof. Because when we look at what the world is saying to us today, but what the Lord is speaking to us through his global church is that we need to come back to the point of community. What we just did now, we communed with God. God himself is a God who is in community and in communion with himself the whole time. He's three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But before I start with that word, I'd just like to give an opportunity. We started a series on James, and I was going to preach on James 3 this morning. But the Lord had something else. But in the beginning of our series, we stepped out in faith to say, God, I'm going to trust you in this. I'm going to put what I'm trusting you for on a piece of paper and I'm going to put it on the cross, God. And I'm going to trust you, God, that this breakthrough will come during this month, during this week, during this time. And the other morning as I gathered here early in the morning to pray, I really felt an urgency in my heart to come to the cross and pray for every sticker that's done. I was on there, and I know some of them has been. You've received breakthrough already. So I wanted you to do something prophetically today. If you have placed something on the cross, and God has already heard and answered your prayers, I would like you to remove it, please. I know there's something that I trusted the Lord for, that was done. Let us remind ourselves that we serve a God of a breakthrough. And if that is you, you can go and collect your stuff, guys. Let us remind ourselves that we serve a faithful God. God is faithful, and even though if you don't take off that stuff, because there's another prayer request that I put on there that has not been heard, but I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm going to continue praying and trusting the Lord for breakthrough in that area. Let's don't lose faith, God. Come on. Hey. Where's your lead? Come on, guys, if we have something on there, let's go. Well done. We celebrate with those who celebrate, and we continue praying with those who are trusting the Lord for breakthrough in that area. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I want you to, when you haven't seen it now, not to stop trusting the Lord, but to keep on trusting the Lord. And when it's there, I want you to step out and to come and take it off the cross so that we can see that thing is empty. Your prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And may we be encouraged, guys. May we be encouraged. The Lord is faithful. There's still a lot that we're going to continue praying and trusting. And we trust the Lord. Okay. So this morning, the Lord really stirred my heart for community. Yeah, something that's really close to my heart, who knows me. I've been sharing about the series of James, also speaks of community. But this morning, I really just felt the need, the Lord wanting to take us back to this. So this morning, I'm going to share with you in Acts 2. Acts 2 speaks, is the time after Pentecost, where obviously we know that what happens at Pentecost. Who doesn't know what happened at Pentecost? They were filled with the Holy Spirit, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. People started preaching in different tongues, speaking in different languages. Peter preached the sermon. 3,000 people came to salvation. They were all waiting till Jesus, when he ascended, he said, "Wait, I will send you my helper. Do not move from Jerusalem, but wait for my helper." And as they waited, they prayed. And we know they were, the Bible speaks, there were about 120 up in the room. They were praying and seeking. And they were really trusting the Lord for what he said. They weren't just sitting there sleeping. They were actively waiting and praying. And that's something that you can only do within a community sense. Because when you go by yourself and you sit and you pray, you will fall asleep. Am I right? There's this one part in the movie The Forge where they give him the short. Who's watched the movie The Forge? I really encourage you. Cape Gate still has it on. I watched it the second time. I'll go watch it the third time. Actually, we're going to have a young men evening at my house. You can be there. You can be there. Bradford and some of his friends, we'll watch it with them. And some of the other guys would like to join. And we're just going to spend the time of ministering with the guys afterwards. Looking forward to that. But The Forge is such a beautiful story about where the world is currently in for us as Christians, because the Bible says that, therefore go and make converts. No, disciples. Baptizing them in the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And a disciple can only be made within a community sense. Because otherwise you are a lone ranger and the enemy walks around like a roaring lion looking to devour and destroy. Because when you found in community, you have people that you walk with. You're not alone. Someone can look at your blind sides. Someone got your back. Literally, because you are walking in community. And during that time when they gave him the short, they told him to hold it up like this. And he did for a little while, but after a while they became heavy. And the guys didn't do much. What they did, they only gave him two fingers. And it made it bearable for him to carry the sword. To stand like this for a little while longer. And that's exactly what community does for us. When we feel isolated and when we feel alone. And when we feel, God, there's no one who loves me. The spirit of loneliness is getting to me. Or I'm just so down in my thoughts, and I can't see anything but this dark cloud above me. There's someone I can say, I pray with you, and I can lift up your hands when you can't. There were times where people literally lifted up my hands when I couldn't lift up my hands. During worship, when I couldn't lift up my hands to worship God because I didn't feel like it, or I was just so, people literally, my friends came around me and they lifted up my hands. And that wouldn't have happened without community. And this is something that I want us to take. So after Peter preached this amazing message, what did they do? And in Acts 2, verse 42, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship of the breaking of bread and the prayers." And were in all coming, every soul, every worker, every sign were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing amongst each other as they had need. And day by day they attended the temple and breaking the bread in homes and received food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people and the Lord, and added to their number day by day who were being saved. Who were being saved. Being discipled into what God has called us to be. You can't be a disciple on your own. We need each other. We need community. And that's the one thing that was understood by the early church. The one thing that they understood was when the Holy Spirit came upon them is that they had to stay together. They devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles, which was Peter, John, and the guys, the 12 that spent time with Jesus, who were Jesus' disciples. They devoted themselves to the teachings that they gave. And why is it important for us as a church now to adapt that culture? Eh? Because in order for us to go far, we have to go together. Okay. And we want to go far. Because we want to accomplish everything that the Lord has set us out to do. Every word that the Lord has spoken over Shofar Boston, we want to accomplish. And we can only do it together. I can't do it by myself, and I don't want to go by myself. Because I'll be taken out. I want to go together. And this morning I'm going to just look at some of the cultures of the early church. And I'm going to take it back to a personal testimony on myself. So the next slide, Adon, thank you for helping me. So the first culture that the early church community adopted was fellowship. The Greek word that they used when we speak about when we're having communion or the breaking of the bread, the Lord's Supper, is koinonia. It means it's an intimacy that is out of this world that happens during the breaking of the bread that we just did. It's an intimacy with Jesus that only you and Jesus in that moment is experiencing. It's an intimacy that you won't be able to experience with anybody else. Is that what he says? Remember me in this. I will be with you. The breaking of the bread, the Lord's Supper, prayers, in-house meetings, and in the temple, the church experience, all the fear of the Lord, the presence, the tangible presence of God that we just experienced. If you were worshiping in your own room, you would not have experienced such a beautiful, tangible presence. Because the Bible says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am. God is with you when you pray in your own room as well. He's with you. But to experience the awe of Jesus, the aura of the Holy Spirit, it only can happen when you're with fellow believers. Signs of the Spirit and power, miracles. Who has received a miracle when they were worshiping on their own? Who have seen miracles happen when they were worshiping on their own? No one. You have. You have. On your own. Exactly. So you can only experience the full power when we are together. And that's something that the early church knew. But the world today of the 21st century is telling that I can be all right when I'm on my own. I don't need people around me. Look at me, I can do everything by myself. The early church didn't do that. Many miracles came from that, and then more than was recorded. Then the Bible says they had all things in common. Giving willingly, voluntarily, they had all things in common. They were of this, they were together because they had Jesus in common. They had the Holy Spirit in common with them. And the Holy Spirit was the ultimate predominant factor that steered what they did and how they did it. Not a person, not anyone, it was the Holy Spirit that was steering that. And therefore they had all things in common. There was generosity amongst them as the Christians, as there is generosity amongst us. They were praising God, and true revival was the desires of their heart. This week, the song that Shofar band wrote with the School of Worship guys, Ready for Revival, has just been ministering to my heart this whole week. That God, I hunger for this. God, I hunger for revival. My heart is that I want to see revival in my church, in my community. God, I want to see it in South Africa. I want people to know you and to experience you, God. They were praising God. They spent time in worship as we did and as we experienced God in that moment. And the Lord added daily to them. Daily, daily the Lord added to them. Like the Lord is adding to us as a not just so far, but as a Christian community. Remember back then they weren't named Christians. They were just called followers. Followers of the way. And that brings me to my life journey and the importance of communion that the Lord has really taken me through. Is that in communion, I grew to the man that I am today. And I'm still growing more because I'm still in a community. And I'm still planted and I'm still rooted and I'm still grounded into a community. And I understand the importance of community. Because if I isolate myself and I say, you guys are not understanding, this is what the Lord is doing in my heart, and this is, then there's no one that I can be accountable to. And if I'm not accountable to anyone, and if we are not accountable to each other, what are we then doing? Because during that time, the all things in common were also accountability among them. Because remember, later on in Acts, we read where Luke writes with regards to the other people who came in, and then there were seven deacons appointed later on to look after the people because they were growing so much. But also we know that there were people who wanted the Holy Spirit for themselves, people, the couple who sold their land, didn't bring everything. What happened was they died on the spot. Because if community is what your heart is longing for, then that is what you're opening yourself up to. It's accountability on a different level. Accountability that you speak of when you live together with someone. Accountability that's between me and Carolyn that none of you are aware of. An accountability that's between myself and Bradwood and the rest of my kids is that that is an accountability. Because I can preach one thing from the pulpit, but if I'm living something else at home, then I am doing harm to the word of the Lord or to the walk of God. Because at home, I need to be first the father to them as the Lord has called me before I'm anything else. And if I'm a bad father and I speak badly and I don't wash them with my words, then that accountability that I have with Samuel, who can keep me accountable, who's one of my leaders and one of my best friends that I walk with and also keep me accountable, if I don't allow Samuel to speak into my life, then what am I doing? And that has really taught me and changed me and challenged me. So I'm going to show you a few photos. So that is me and Willem. I really had this desire. I still have this desire to play guitar. Thank you, Jesus. Just a desire.
Thank you, Jesus.
My friend Samuel doesn't want to teach you. Can you keep him accountable on other things? So we were camping. We had a boys' weekend away. And we were camping outside of Wellington on a farm. And we were really just spending intentional time together, praying with each other, sitting in the river. But with those guys, there was no mosque that I had. Because any mosque that I would have, they would see through me. They will see straight through it, so there was no faking it. There was no making sure like, oh, we things are right. We had some difficult conversations. But we're still friends today. And we still, and during that time, we walked in accountability with one another because we lived together in a big house in Durbanville. Katie, Siko, and Yameka was in that house as well. And Lazandim, they all knew what that house stood for, and Nandi them, because they used to visit there often. And it was really a house that taught us the value of living a life as the early church. Being in one another's spaces, seeing you at your worst, seeing you at your best, crying with you, celebrating with you, doing life together. And that's what we call life on life discipleship. The next slide is, that's me. The most important thing is that what I've learned in that house is that whatever has been entrusted to you and you give it back to someone, you give it back better than you found it. And we were laying some paving there. Katie will remember he had a vegetable garden just there. And that was his thing. And he really poured his everything into that vegetable garden. And we were just doing maintenance around the house because that's where we learned the value of being entrusted with something. And if I wasn't in that house and if I wasn't living in that house, I wouldn't have had that view or that worldview how I look at things. Whenever someone gives me something, I look after it. And then the next photo is where we had dinner with Stephen Lungu. If you all remember, Stephen Lungu he used to be a terrorist, and then he met the Lord, and the Lord really saved him. He passed away during COVID. But he was he wasn't intelligent or anything like that because he couldn't read or write. But when you sat with him, he had wisdom that surpasses lots of people because of his experience and his life journey with the Lord. And the importance of discipleship, he was discipled by a white man who he tried to kill once. Because he thought that white people were out to kill them. But he was discipled by a white man. And there's him and his wife sitting around our table. We had good conversations around this long table. Shaping conversations. Crying conversations. Tough conversations. But the conversations we had was encouraging. And it was growth. We had fun. The last one, which I'm going to end off with. We had lots of fun in the house. People think when you're a Christian, and this was my worldview when I came into, before I joined the Shofar churches, I thought Christianity was boring because that was what was portrayed to me in the church where I come from. Christianity was boring. You couldn't have fun. We had lots of fun. We used to prank one another. We used to do... Once, if the boys were on duty, we used to see who could hit each other the hardest, without crying. We used to just be boys. We used to take the wooden spoon and give each other hidings, see on whose bum the wooden spoon doesn't break. We just used to We just had fun together. What I'm saying and what I'm wanting to say is that the importance of this, and this is times where I would still look back today and shaping and forming times of my life that has called me to the man that I am today. Today my wife could come, while we were dating still time, before she was my wife, Carolyn could visit me at that house and see how I am with the rest of the people that I was living with. She felt safe when she came there because there was other people around us, but she could see how I treated everyone that I was living with. You did give us space the first night. Thank you, sis. The Holy Spirit. So I need to tell this story. So the first night, Carolyn comes over as officially. I invited her for dinner. It was my time to cook. So for those who know me, knew that whenever it was my time to cook, I would get something from Pick and Pay because I used to work there. And this evening I left to work early. I cooked butternut soup. I got everything in there. Got nice bread. I got the biltong saves, everything, eh? It was like everything was in there. Everything was to the T. And everyone was looking at this in the house. And Carolyn was there, and we were chatting, and everyone. And Philip starts commenting. So Philip is also one of our good friends. He's right at the back. And he's just commenting to Carolyn, "Do you know what's happening here?" She's like, "I think I have an idea, but can you tell me more?" And he's like, "Brad never cooks for us." Yeah, I'm cooking. Yeah, I'm so like. So that evening, after that, we had a nice fireplace in the living room, and we had the fire going because it was winter. And as Sikona said, the Holy Spirit started telling them one by one, "It's time to go. It's time to go." The Holy Spirit is like the best wing that you can get. Suddenly, there was only two people on the couch. And then we started moving closer to each other, and then that's fine, he knows the story. And then I looked over to Carolyn and I told her, "I like you." And then she's like, "I like you too." And the rest is history. But what I wanted to say about the importance of the community is that this is where I'm coming back to. Carolyn could come in and felt safe because there was people who not only knew me, but knew me because they've seen me at 5 o'clock in the morning when I had to leave for work, or at 12 at night when I was stressed about work and I was still sitting and working in the kitchen or at the living room table. They saw me at my worst and at my best time. Or they would see me come from work, hear me coming in at 5:30, taking a quick shower, then leaving again because of a store opening that has to happen. Coming back the evening, tired, and doesn't want to talk to anyone. Just want to be in my own space. They have seen that. And that is something that only community, when you open yourself up to. And as you come into Shofar Boston, I want to encourage you, that is what we stand for. Connecting people to God, connecting people to people. Let's stand together. But we obviously know that during life, we open ourselves up to certain churches, whether it be church, I'm going to just use church as an example because we're a church. And you've been hurt along the way, whether it is a family hurt, and you're really struggling to trust the next person. And that really keeps you back from opening your heart up to a community to say, Lord, I'm going to open up my heart to this community. I'm going to not only go in, I'm going to invest, God. I'm going to be planted into a community, God, and I want to be invested into the community. Maybe you've done that before. Maybe you've gotten hurt over this while. But I want you to forgive. And this morning, I really want us to close our eyes. And this is a time between you and God. And I've spoken about the good now, about my journey, about this. But what I didn't tell you is that I also got hurt. And I had to forgive. And it's not that someone just finishing the milk and leaving it outside, or someone just leaving the dishes for you. It's when someone says something that personally affects you. Affects either your character, affects you as a person. The early church could only be so effective that they are still standing today because their heart to be together. Because when Jesus came, he said, I only do what I see my Father does. And Jesus says, I'll send you my helper, who is the Holy Spirit. And we know that they three of them are in community with one another and in unity with one another. There's no competition. There's no hierarchy. And if that is you, with every eye closed, every head bowed, just want you to raise your hand and say, Lord, you know the unforgiveness in my heart. God, you know the hardness of my heart towards X, B, or C, or a group of people, or a movement, or a church. God, but this morning, right here, I choose to forgive. Father, thank you, Lord, that you are the God who forgives us. That while we were sinners, God, you showed us the ultimate forgiveness, Lord, when you died on the cross for our sins. And if it is a second group of people that I really want us to just focus on, is that maybe you've never experienced community. Maybe you were just always on your own. And you've been fine with that for years. But you know there's a prompting from the Lord to say that you need to step out. Step into a community. Be part of a community. If that is you, I would just like you to stretch out your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. God, you know I can't do this by myself. God, I'm stepping out, God. I'm opening up my heart, God. And I'm asking, God, that you would just plant me where you want me to be, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that thank you, Jesus. That this morning, God, we have gratitude in our hearts towards you. A heart of gratitude towards you, God. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us your Spirit, God, and making us new. Thank you for allowing us to open up our hearts to community, God, this morning. to say, Lord, I want to be transformed into more like Christ. And we can know that we can only do that when we step into community, God. When we say yes to you, God. When we say yes to community. When we say yes to being discipled. When we say yes to being mentored, God. When we say yes to becoming more like you, God. May we not isolate ourselves, God, that the enemy can come in and steal and kill, God. But may we be in community that we are surrounded by believers who will cover us in prayer when we go through trials of many kinds, God. May we be surrounded with like-minded people, God, who will walk this road with us, will be lifting up our hands, God, when we're not able to, who will be able to say and speak in love to us to say, what is happening in your heart? You are not all right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given us the example. The first thing you, when you came to it, God, you chose the community that you surround yourself in with. And you chose your 12 disciples, God, that you mentored and you discipled, God. And you said to them, go and do likewise. Thank you that you have called us as Shofar Boston, God, to be the light in the city. And as people enter into our space, God, may we welcome them with open arms, Lord. And as they become part of this community, Lord, may we grow together in the likeness of Christ. May we look to you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Can I finish with a worship song to respond to the words that were spoken today?
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. Oh. Well, why would he fail now? He won't. Say, Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaking.